listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, a new week. The date is April 8, 2024. Today we're expecting an eclipse not too long from now, but I'll probably miss it. I'm going to be indoors for the next few hours, so I'm going to miss it. But I guess I'll see it on TV or through the window. I don't know. But everybody remember, don't look directly at the sun because it's extremely dangerous. We never really do look at the sun, and people are tempted to look at it when there's an eclipse, you know, but it's still just as bad, you know, and maybe the moon is covering the sun, but it's not complete. So be careful out there. Thank you all for joining us this morning. Today, I have a very special guest in the studio, a very inspiring young man, and we're going to hear his story and find out about his book. And, in fact, I see you're going to have three books, so we're going to cover that. I'm just looking for the name. I can't remember. Okay, so we have Adam Elnikave in the studio. Welcome to the show. I needed to practice this a few times to actually say it right. But
yeah.
But I got it right, right?
Very nice on the first shot.
How are you doing today, Adam?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day outside.
It is, right?
Good day.
Yeah. Can't beat the weather in California, man.
Yeah.
It's like, that's one thing, you know, say what you will about California, and people say a lot of things about
it. Yeah.
Not all of them great, but you can't beat the weather, man. You know, it's like you go back east from here, and you either get really hot and humid, or you get very cold and snowy. Exactly. You know, nothing is really quite like L.A., so that's why a lot of people move here. You know, we have half of the homeless people in the States live in California.
Yeah, we pay the taxes for it.
Yeah, you know, but they know where they should live, you know,
yeah.
near the ocean and where the weather is fair and everything, you know, so
yeah.
That's very cool. So you live here in L.A. Were you born here? Did you grow up here?
I was actually born in New York.
Oh, really?
So I was born in the East Coast. So I know when you say the East Coast weather and the West Coast, it's totally different.
Yeah. Was it New York City or New York State that you
I was actually born in Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, more in the suburban area. And I have family everywhere in Westchester, Brooklyn,
really?
Manhattan, Harlem, Queens.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How old were you when you moved out here? Did you move with the family?
I moved with the family much younger.
Much younger.
But I always kept going back because I have all my family there. My dad's sister, my mother, having brothers and sisters there, and I have a whole bunch of cousins there all throughout the city.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
And your family knew what's good for them, so they moved here, right?
They did. They always had a goal. And then I have some of my family, they went to Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, whoa, why Minnesota?
Yeah, it's why
tough.
There?
Yeah, but they love the communities there in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's different, right?
Yeah, much different.
Yeah, the Midwest is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are much closer here. People don't socialize as much. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we do get some bad rap here because...
Hollywood.
Hollywood and people are competitive and everything.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is there's a lot of great people here, you
know?
Oh,
there is.
I mean, we got 4 million people in L.A. County alone. You know there's going to be some nice ones there, you know?
Yeah.
I know a lot of great people. So, Adam, how old are you?
I just turned 33.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm an
young.
Old man now.
Yeah. I have a daughter, 33.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So now you're making me feel old.
I feel like I'm really getting into my 30s now. It's done.
Yeah, it's time, right?
Yeah.
A lot of pressure now to build your future. Do you feel that?
Oh, very much.
Really?
Very much. Kind of get yourself situated, your life, you know, everything to be cemented, you know.
Yeah.
You're not a silly kid no longer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now you got to start planning.
Yeah,
in the 30s, it gets serious, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The 20s, you get to party and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, make mistakes.
Yeah, but now you got to plan a family and everything,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And your career and all that. And I recommend people in their 30s to really plan their future. I'm 63 now, and it's too late to plan anything now, you know. So you better be at 63. You better have a good plan.
Yeah.
By then, I'm not doing too bad actually. But I'm just saying that when you get to my age, you look back and you go, "Where's all the time gone?" You know. And so you want to make good decisions when you're younger, it'll pay off later, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now the reason you're here is because you wrote a book, and based on your experience, a very traumatic experience, if I might add, you suffered from what they call traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
TBI, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And when did that happen?
About 5.5, 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're like in your mid to late 20s, about
I
27
was, my accident happened, I was 28 years old.
28.
In Thailand.
Oh, you were in Thailand?
Yeah, with my best friend from high school. We were graduating college, and we wanted to go to travel the world. And all throughout my high school, I always told him, Thailand is so beautiful because I went there with my dad when I was young. And he said to me, you know what, now that we're done with our schooling in life, let's go travel. So I said to him, I said, okay, let's go to Thailand.
Right.
And we ended up going. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. And so you were traveling there. Where in Thailand did you go? To all the tourist places? Or
yeah. So to flying into Thailand, you have to land in Bangkok.
Right.
So Bangkok is the main capital. So you fly there, and then we took a smaller flight to Phuket, which is an island.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. That's where everybody wants to go, right?
That's it's beautiful. That's the Hawaii in Asia, so to speak. Yeah, we went there and we had fun, had an amazing time, and we partied. You know, saw the ocean and saw the elephants and the monkeys, and it was great. And and then one day we wanted to explore more of the island, so I suggested that we get a couple of motorcycles, and we rented a couple motorcycles and we travel around. The island,
Had you ridden a motorcycle before?
Yeah, I was experienced, and he wasn't. So I was the one telling him, listen, I'll teach you, it's easy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then, we got a couple of motorcycles. And then ever since Bangkok, we started seeing the locals in Asia. They don't wear helmets. The locals, they don't wear helmets. They're very comfortable. I saw a man, his wife, his son, his daughter, and a baby all on one motorcycle, all holding on to no helmets.
And no helmets.
No helmet. Not one.
Wow.
So I got this confidence. And I said to Renee, his name is Renee Reyes, I said to him, Renee, let's not wear helmets. Let's look like the locals. And he goes, Adam, you sure? I'm like, yeah, man, it's easy. We're here by the ocean. We had on the street, it was a sandy street with sand on one side and restaurants on the other. So it was easy, simple. I was like, let's go. Let's do this. So we go. Mm-hmm. We start driving around the island. It was beautiful. Amazing sun, parasailing. You saw every beautiful thing.
Right.
And then a couple of cops stopped us for not wearing helmets. And maybe 25 other people. Just like there was like a random booth. Right. Like it was very primitive, very old school.
So they're supposed to wear helmets, but most of them don't.
Legally, you are supposed to wear helmets since like the 90s.
You know that? I mean, did you know you're like, quote unquote, breaking the law?
I sincerely, I would admit it to you. I sincerely did not believe we're breaking law because all the locals did not wear helmets.
Right.
Nobody wore helmets. So I thought, hey, let's look like them, So we got tickets. We got reckless tickets, whatever you may call it. And, it was for $14 because the Thai currency, like the baht, it's a lot cheaper than the American.
Right.
So $14, and I'm like, I'm all angry and frustrated, and I see a couple more locals drive past us with no helmets. I go, look at that. No one's wearing helmets. So we pay the tickets, and then after we pay, I get angry, upset. You know, me being a little 28-year-old guy, let's get back on the motorcycle with no helmets again.
Wow.
So we get back on it again, and then my friend Renee started complaining about having issues with his bike. And I said to him, I said, yeah, you probably don't know what you're doing. Let me drive your bike. I drive his bike, and then I fell.
And
We don't know if I fell or I got hit or the motorcycle went bad. We're not sure because there's no cameras in.
And this is while you were riding?
While I was riding, yeah.
Wow.
So my friend pulled up and sees me on the floor. And
you hit your head, probably.
I hit my head. I broke my skull. Oil shot up from the motorcycle to my brain, poisoning part of it. I was in a coma for 10 days.
Oh, my God.
Pronounced dead and vegetative and paralyzed and all the worst things in the world.
Did you know what was happening to you? Do you remember anything?
My memory didn't return till about 3 months later. in rehab.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you didn't know what was going on.
I was gone. I was gone. I don't remember anything.
Right.
My friend told me he contacted my parents. They flew over. Wow. And then all these things happened.
He must have freaked out completely. I mean,
he was telling my parents, I think he's dead. I see his brain, a piece of his brain on the floor. Like, oh, I don't know what to do. Wow. What the hell do I do?
So he called right there and then?
Yeah.
He called your parents from the
He grabbed my cell phone from my pocket and he called my parents.
Wow.
Like WhatsApp. Called my parents. And they all came and...
Were you guys where there were people or were you like...
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple of women walking up and down the street. They helped try to help. They called the paramedics. The ambulance came, picked him up. Our bikes were left on the floor. Our passports were left with the rental, and it became a whole different story.
Wow!
You know?
Wow!
Yeah!
Wow! And here you're sitting here, pretty normal. You're able to access all your memory and your facilities and faculties and everything.
Oh yeah! Oh,
and wow!
Yeah, it was quite a journey. I didn't know how to speak. I didn't know who my family was. I didn't know my dog. I didn't know how to eat, how to sleep, how to shower. My mom has.
What were you thinking? I mean, do you remember what you were thinking? So, like a week later, you were out of the coma, right?
A week and a half. Yeah,
a week and a half days. Later. Yeah. So you were in a coma. Your parents probably didn't know what was going to happen.
The doctors were telling my parents, "We don't know if he's going to wake up because he has a severe TBI.
Wow.
Not a concussion. Not a." Injury, like this is a severe TBI.
Wow.
And with brains, the humans don't know so much about the brain.
Right.
They don't know how to recover a brain to an extent. They don't know on a cellular level.
Right.
So I have neuron damage. So it was all one big guessing game.
And the brain is such a sensitive,
very sensitive,
delicate organ.
Very, very, absolutely. Wow. Yeah,
Jeez.
I was 1 year old all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? And then I was 3. And then I was 7. Then I was 10. Then I was 15.
Wow.
And it's all it says in my book over the chapters of regrowing all over again.
Wow.
All over.
Yeah. Wow. The book is called Rebuilding Adam, The Tragedy. And you guys can catch it anywhere. And like Amazon and I'm sure in all the different places and stuff.
Yeah.
When was the book released?
Just last month. First of March.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So now, how long did it take you to, have you fully recovered from it?
I do have my, not 100% in some areas.
Uh-huh.
And
arm, your hand? Or
so basically your brain, there's two hemispheres to your brain.
Right.
When you damage one side, it controls the other. So I affected my right side. Of my head.
Okay.
And that affected my entire left side of my body.
Right.
So I was unable to walk. I had my hand in a sling, my left arm in a sling. My shoulder. The beautiful thing about the brain is that your brain is constantly telling your body to keep your rotator cuffs connected to you. When your brain doesn't say that, your shoulder can pop out. And my shoulder popped out many times.
Wow.
Yeah, my body forgot the connection of having two arms and my leg. I mean, I had to wear an ankle brace. And so I had my shoulder popping out on one side, my leg popping out on the other. And I was completely paralyzed. Yeah.
Wow, wow.
Everything, my hips, everything, my whole left side was gone. No feeling, no touch, scratching, stitches, I felt nothing.
You couldn't feel nothing.
Nothing.
Only half of your body was like that?
Exactly half my body.
Wow, how weird is that, huh?
Yeah, and then the right side, the sensitivity, it heightened.
Really?
Because I felt nothing here. So when you touch me on my right side back then, I'd feel nothing on my left, but if you touch my right, I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's very sensitive.
Right.
You know? So, balancing act.
What a story, man.
Yeah, crazy.
Wow. Wow. I'm getting like chills, because you try to imagine a person going through something like this and there's just no, you can't imagine what it's like, until you go through this. And so were you at a point where you were aware, but you didn't know what was going on?
You know, You know, I wasn't, my awareness was more simple, like, you are injured. You have to do this. You have to go to rehab. Your mom has to cook you food. Your mom has to wake you up. You are sitting in front of the TV. Just stare at the TV. Like, I didn't, my perceptions and awareness of my life, like the sun, like what you just spoke about, the eclipse. I mean, nothing. Clouds, air, people, feelings, everything. It was so bad. Let's go back for a second. You said the left side and the right side was a story, right?
Right.
My left side and my right side were so bad. One day in the shower, about 10 months later, I looked in the mirror that I have in the shower. Mm-hmm. I looked very closely. The hair on my face was a little bit smaller growing than the right side of my face.
Gotcha.
So not only functionally, I was unable to move my left side,
right.
Even my hair growth on the left side was a little bit smaller than the right side.
Right.
That's the level of my of my affectedness.
Were
my
your
body.
Face like droopy and stuff on one side?
Oh my gosh.
Really?
The first, like, I was smiling on like, one side.
On one side.
I was chewing, eating food. It was falling out of my left side. Yeah.
What were you feeling? Did you feel that you wanted to stay alive? Or, I mean, did you have that instinct? Or were you thinking, I don't want to live like this?
You know, I've heard many stories like that. Like, how did you feel, like cancer and stuff like that? And, you know, losing an arm or a leg. Like, how did you feel? I'd like to say something motivational, but I was so gone mentally.
Right.
I didn't know what life was, what death was, what anything was.
Right.
Water, food.
Right. You wanted to wear
happiness.
A bit, so
I was
you're
not
just
aware.
There.
Just there. I was a blank. I was a blank canvas, like a sculpture. Just there.
Wow.
You know.
Your family must have gone through hell.
Oh man,
to have to look at this and live with it.
Yeah.
And not know whether you're going to get back to to who you
and
were.
I was a big-time bodybuilder. I was I had 100,000 of followers. I was bench pressing 300 pounds, 140-pound dumbbells. I was interviewed.
Really?
Yeah, I was with the biggest influencers, you know, saying, oh my gosh, Adam is so strong. He's so fast. He can do this. He can do that. And now I was gone to my parents, my friends. They didn't know if I was ever going to come back, if I were to leave my house, go out. I was unable to drive. I was unable. I had one arm.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know how to use myself anymore, be a person. Yeah.
Whew.
All day. All one year, 1 year old all over again in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about before that. So you were a bodybuilder? Really?
I was a bodybuilder.
Actually, I'm looking at your website here. You look quite muscular.
Yeah, I was.
How long were you doing this for?
About 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah, I was the bodybuilder. My body really responded well to weightlifting. Like, when I was weightlifting and eating well, I was eating 6 meals a day.
Really?
6 meals and 1 protein shake every day. But when I was eating, my body responded. Like, if I was lifting weights, my body responded very well. And that's why I was popular as a bodybuilder. I was being interviewed because they were like, look, you don't need steroids. You don't need any drugs. Look at this guy. So I was like the guy to look up to. And then, boom, my accident.
Right.
I was, my whole life just totally flipped. Right. Yeah.
Did your followers and stuff know what happened to you?
I was gone. I did not go on Instagram.
You couldn't update anything or...
I didn't know how to use a cell phone. I didn't know what it was.
You just kind of disappeared for your fans.
Gone.
And your followers.
Gone. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely gone.
Yeah. Were you like teaching people body building and...
Yeah,
like
I was a fitness trainer. I had groups of people. I had one-on-ones. My whole life was training people. And then I was building a fitness app where it was like a GPS app that tracks you and tells all your friends when you're at the gym and what you're working out.
Yeah.
So like a motivating your friends, like a celebrity, tell all their followers, look at me, I'm working out, I'm at the gym.
Right.
And it happened all over the world. You know?
That's
gym.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow. And 2 weeks before launch, I fall. I get into my accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nuts.
Jeez, jeez. What a story.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you had friends and everything. Would they like come to visit you? Do you remember anything like that?
Yeah. My friends were there for me. My friend that I got into an accident in Thailand with,
right.
He visited my rehab centers. I was in Downey a couple of times. He visited with his whole family. Mm-hmm. My other friend Nick had breakfast with me and my mom, you know, random days. And, uh-huh. You know, it was, I knew them for a very long time. I knew Nick from middle school and I knew my other friend from high school. So they were still... Right.
Yeah,
they were still by my side. They wanted to see me recover. Yeah, do well.
He was probably traumatized. Big deal.
My God,
you like freak out. You don't know what happened.
I was in a lake of blood in Thailand on the streets.
Wow.
And he was running to me going, Adam, screaming.
Now, let me ask you this. Had you ridden a bike before?
Yeah, I had a Yamaha R6 and a Suzuki GSXR.
I see. So you were riding when you were home.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it wasn't like anything new for you or
no.
anything like that.
And that was
it felt very
bittersweet. It kind of helped me. It rise my confidence too much, maybe. Yeah.
Too much. Do you think a helmet would have helped?
You know, me and my mom always have this conversation that if I wore a helmet, none of this would have happened.
None of this would have happened.
Just a couple of maybe scratches on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And then...
Did the bike fall on you?
I don't know. My friend doesn't know. But what I do know, what he does know, is that the helmet that I was carrying in my motorcycle trunk, it popped out and then it hit a taxi. So that's all we know. But we don't know where I think he said the bike slid under a tuk-tuk, which is a taxi in Thailand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but we're not sure what happened. I was speeding ahead of him. So he was unable to see where I was when I fell. I was too far ahead of him because the Thailand island was winding roads.
Right.
So I was at one point so distant from him, he did not see where I was. So by the time he saw me, I was in a lake of blood on the floor.
On the ground.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know exactly.
So do you think there was something wrong with the bike? Because he told you he felt something was going on.
He did. And
right.
I shoved it away and I brushed it and said, you just don't know what to do. Let me do it. I'll show you.
Right.
And I used it and I felt okay. It's my memory that I wrote down in my journal, which is my book. But from that moment to 3 months later, I don't remember anything.
Right, right.
All stories were told to me.
So, I mean... How did you fall? Do you know?
I don't know. No memory. Nothing.
Right, nothing. And they couldn't tell you, huh?
Like, there's no cameras in Thailand. Right. There's no many cops in Thailand.
Okay. Did they investigate this at all? Do you know?
No.
Huh?
All my parents wanted to do was to safely get me home from Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah. To have my skull was broken. So right now, as you look at me, 15% of my skull is plastic.
Really?
So, like, this cusp right here is plastic.
Wow.
Yeah, to make it look round.
Yeah.
Because I shattered my skull. I was going fast. Wow. Very fast.
Wow.
With no shirt, no shoes, no pants, nothing.
Jeez.
85 degrees, and we went on the bikes right out of the ocean.
Yeah.
We were wet, maybe dry from the humidity at that point, but we were no protection.
Yeah.
No.
What do you think of bikes now? Would you recommend people ride bikes? I mean, do you think it's safe not in your case, but it's like, I mean, I feel it's like you're like a bullet, like a missile. There's no protection around you.
Yeah.
People on bikes ride very fast. You know, sometimes on the freeway, I see them doing like 80, 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You're like a missile, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no protection. I mean, at that speed, even in a car, you'd probably get all mangled up and everything, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, did you ever think about that?
You know, now...
Even at home, like before that.
Now, you know, when I was younger in my 20s, I felt invincible.
Really?
You know, and that was how I felt being a bodybuilder. I felt like going to the gym in my sports bike, what the heck's going to happen to me?
Right.
My mom begged me to wear a spine protector, wear this, wear your leather jacket. But it's right. Los Angeles. It's hot. Yeah. I don't want to wear all this crap. So there's a lot of times that I didn't. But now when I look back at it, when I'm asked this question, I say, you know, when you're in a car, let's just go back. If you're in a car, you may have friends that, you know, have little nicks. Like they maybe backed up their car into a garbage can, or maybe just bumped another car, or maybe you went a little too forward and hit a curb, you know.
Right.
If that happens when you're on a motorcycle, if you have one little nit or a hit, you're going to fall.
Right.
You're going to fall.
Right.
So I say that to everyone. Like, if you ride a motorcycle, understand you can be the best, but if you hit something easily or someone nicks you or hits you, you're probably going to fall to the ground.
You know? Anything that's out of your control, you know?
Anything.
And, you know, sometimes I wonder, I'm like, what if your face itches and you need to scratch?
Oh, yeah.
Scratch your back, scratch anything, you know? You can't do it, you know? Yeah. What do you do? So, I mean, I would never get on a motorcycle. I'm telling you this. My daughter has one. I can't sleep at night. Good thing she doesn't ride it a lot, you know?
Good.
But I don't trust motorcycles. I think they're extremely dangerous.
They are.
Extremely dangerous, you know? And you're an example of that, you know? And I think people really should reconsider getting on a motorcycle. I know it's freeing, you know? It's liberating.
Independent.
Right. You know, you feel like you're invincible, like you said,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And, but we're all so fragile.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, we're all so fragile. I mean, shit can happen to you when you're standing, you know, let alone going, you know, 70 miles an hour.
There are so many risks in life, like cancer and diseases and like COVID. And,
right.
And
so
now,
why make it worse?
Yeah, why make it worse? Exactly. My mom always told me that she knew that I was this guy feeling invincible. But she said to me, she said, Adam, it's not that I don't trust as a motorcycle, as a driver. It's the people around you I don't trust. There's people that drink alcohol. There's people that make stupid decisions. You know, they can hurt you too.
Right.
So there's,
sometimes you don't see the motorcycle coming, you know.
Exactly.
I know on the freeways it's hard, you know, when you split lanes and everything.
Yeah.
You don't know, you know. So people can make a lot of things, a lot of mistakes.
Exactly.
And not necessarily because, you know, they're at fault or anything, but just because they don't see you, you know. And
exactly.
You're going way too fast. You're small. And you're coming in between lanes, you know. And that's why I asked my daughter, I said, you know, why do they allow this? I think it's extremely dangerous to split lanes, you know, because cars can get kind of close to each other. And then you just, like, you get stuck, you know. Anything can happen.
They don't change lanes with signaling sometimes.
Right, you know, so you don't know. And I think staying in your lane is a lot safer. But she said, you know, I guess it's not legal in every state, but in California it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
split
legal
lanes.
To go in a carpool lane, too.
Yeah.
On your motorcycle.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's still, you're inside the lane.
Yeah, but when you're on a motorcycle, you're going to pass cars.
Right, right.
Because when you're on a motorcycle, you're not boxed in.
Right.
So you want to split. It's
You want to get the faster because you can.
Exactly, because you can.
Right.
And less gas and less expense. Right. And motorbikes are 1/8 of the cost of cars.
Right.
You have all this built up, you know, confidence.
True.
You know, it's, it's, you are rolling the dice.
Yeah.
You have to understand that.
You really are.
You are. Right. You are. Live how you want to live, but just know that you are live. You are rolling the dice.
Right. So it's interesting. Do you believe in destiny? Do you believe it was supposed to happen to you, or was that a result of a decision?
You see, my family is Jewish.
Okay.
And they believe in God and everything. And
right.
But with me, I believe in coincidences.
Yeah.
You put yourself in column A, mm-hmm. column B can happen.
Right.
Or you can be just a living human and you could get cancer.
Yeah.
You could be hurt, a drunk driver.
Right.
I believe in coincidences, but my thing is, whatever coincidence happens to me personally,
right,
I'm going to overcome it because I only have one life. I only have one body.
Right.
You know, I can go to the UPS store and return myself, you know. You know.
Wow, you're a brave, inspiring man, let me tell you, because you know, I try to think of how I would go through something like this, and it just sounds so desperate, a desperate situation, you know, and
yeah.
You go, why would I even want to go through this? But you had this desire to stay alive and to get better.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing we have as a human being, or as a living thing. I think animals have that too, and that is the instinct to stay alive, you know. And that's why we always fight anything that tries to take our lives away from us. You know, we're built for it. You know, we have the fight or flight,
exactly.
You know, instinct and all these things are, you know, embodied in us, you know. And to so I can see where you would have that hope that you'd get better. You know,
yeah.
Were there times where you were frustrated, where you felt, why did this happen to me?
Many times, mostly in the gym, you know, going back to the gym, this is in my book, but when the first time I went back to the gym, I was wearing a helmet, you know, it's ironic because I got into my situation not wearing a helmet.
Uh-huh.
And then after my accident, before my plastic head was put on,
uh-huh.
I had to wear a helmet all the time in case something would happen.
Right.
If I fell, there's no skull in this side to protect. Yeah. So I remember going to the gym, and I'm wearing a helmet and I'm in a cane and I have my left arm taped up, and I just, like, everything looked so foreign to me. The whole gym looked foreign to me.
Yeah.
I was scared to be there. Yeah. I was nervous. I was... Once, this is like a story, like any other book you'd read, but I was the strongest guy in the gym. I was the guy always by the heaviest dumbbells, because there was not one thing in the gym that was me unable to lift.
Really?
That was, I loved the working. I loved working Arnold Schwarzenegger. I loved it. I enjoyed it. It made me feel good exercising.
Yeah.
But then now, when I went back, I could only work out with the grandmother weights, the silver ones, the 1.5 pound ones.
Right,
and I was hobbling, and I even tripped a couple of times, and I fell to the floor, and, you know, and I was dating the most beautiful girl at the gym.
Uh-huh.
She was, Miss South America in 2009 or something. I was dating her, and, and then at some point I saw her, and see, everything just became foreign to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
My whole life changed.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. So, and you said your memory started coming back to you
gradually, slowly.
Right?
Yeah, slowly. Yeah.
At what point, like at what point after the accident did the memory start coming back to you? Where you could recognize your family?
Oh, okay. Family was very quick. My dog, 6 months. Tasks and things I have to do, like, let's say, needing milk at home or brushing my teeth or something like that, that took almost 10, 11 months. And I believe, cognitively, I got my full brain back, if I can say, my mind back, about a year and a half into it, 10 months later, I was already driving.
Really?
Yeah, I was driving. I was getting, there's the stories with that, but the DMV, when you have a brain injury or neurological damage, they, like, interrogate you before they let you drive, because you're not, by law, you're not supposed to drive. They put me in a room, and then this is all in my book, and they interrogated me. Like, what would you do if you were in traffic? Would you hurt someone? What if someone cuts you off or honks at you? What would you do? And I wrote that all in my book, like that whole interview. It was, but memory came back pretty quick. It was more my dysfunctionality that was the hardest, my body moving.
So as far as permanent damage, is it mainly your arm that you feel that you're limited with, or
but it's also improving.
Yeah.
I'm still improving. I'm still I'm still moving myself. One of the main things that motivated me to recover was traveling, because I love traveling more than anything. Yeah. I went to Miami by myself. I went to New York by myself. I went to Wyoming. I went to Israel by myself. Wow. I took a flight for 17 hours for 3 weeks all by myself.
Yeah. God, I hate those long flights.
Oh, man.
That's why I haven't been back in a while. But
I love traveling. You know, I'm going to go to Australia in December, New Zealand. Every year I want to see the world.
Yeah.
South Africa, Switzerland.
Yeah.
I love traveling.
That's the way to do it.
We're only on this planet for 80 or so years.
Exactly.
I want to see this planet that we're living on.
Right.
You know?
And we're so fragile. I mean, you're proving the point that we're so fragile that you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So you want to live for today.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. I want to enjoy my life, and I appreciate everything that I have, and I really want to see the world, and I work, and I save my money, and I want to have fun. I want to enjoy myself.
Right.
You know.
What are you doing for work these days?
My father owns a shoe company called Jetify.
Oh.
And they're a medically patented shoe to help people walk, ironically.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's patented by UCLA.
Really?
And it's a real top shoe company.
Uh-huh.
And I started working in the call center, working for him. You know, my first days, I was just following him around the office. He was driving me, of course, and I was following him with a cane. And then I started working in the call center. Mm-hmm. And then I got promoted to working the marketing side. And then I got promoted again to the shoe stores.
Uh-huh.
And then to all the shoe stores in Palm Springs, Huntington Beach, Pacoima, Encino, all these areas. And then I got promoted to taking care of the wholesale, which has Nordstrom's, Macy's, DSW, all these big time. So I basically, in a nutshell, I work for my father's shoe company. And yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You're able to function 100%.
100%. I travel to all of them. I have all these managers working under me. I make sure they have shoe stores with correct shoes and marketing plans and, you know, scheduling the workers and everything.
Now, I imagine also with half the body paralyzed, it was hard to talk too, right?
Oh, yeah.
People couldn't probably understand what you're trying to say.
I couldn't. Yeah. It took me a while to be able to.
That would be frustrating. Huh?
You know, it was a combination of my muscles in my mouth moving and also cognitively thinking of what to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. My mind would not think fast enough to say, let's say, I want water. I would say, I want water. Like, I couldn't, my mouth wasn't strong enough to pronounce, and I couldn't think. So it was like a double whammy, like unable. Yeah, it was tough.
Man, I'm telling you, you got a story there.
Yeah.
You know? And we never know. I mean, it's like in a split second, your life can change like this.
2 seconds.
That's what scares me. You know?
Yeah. You never know.
I mean, I try to be real careful with everything, but I'm always like afraid something's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
A few years ago, I got a stroke.
Wow.
And I didn't know what it was, you know, and my wife, she picked me up at the office because this happened to me while I was driving to work.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
So I started seeing double and everything, and I didn't know what was going on. So I drove to the office a couple more miles. I mean, I was in the middle of the freeway during rush hour, but I thought, I can't just stop the car here. You know, I mean, they need to bring a fucking helicopter to take me out of there.
Wow.
So I was still able to think, you know, and so I went to the office. I called her. She came, picked me up, and on the way I was like puking and stuff in the car and the whole thing. And we went home so I could change my clothes and go to the hospital, right? So we get home, and I told her, I said, you know, just let me sleep a little bit. She says, no way. We got to go to the hospital. We went to the hospital, and right away they said, you got a stroke. You know, they took me to emergency. They brought all the people in. They have like they announce code stroke or something. And the PA and everybody comes.
Wow.
And So I mean, I knew what was going on, but the bottom line is that they said you came here on time, you know, because if you wait more than 3 hours, you're gone, you know. And I thought, my God, you know, if I was like paralyzed because I hear about people, you know, I mean, I thought, you know, if you die, you die, you know, I mean, you don't feel anything. But if you have to be like a vegetable and live like that, that scares me, you know, and that's why I'm saying, I mean, you were in that situation and you emerged from it and you're living normally now, you know, you're really blessed. You truly are blessed, you know,
yeah.
And whether it was, I mean, I don't know that it was predestined, you know, I mean, you made a decision.
Yes.
To get on a motorcycle,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you knew the dangers and all that,
yes.
But you still went on there, right? So so you made, let's say, not a wise decision, but you have someone looking over you. I mean, it's clear, you know? I mean, there's no way you can emerge out of something like that without some kind of, you know, superpower or something, you know? Something that helps you because... You could have just as easily stayed that way for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I was the best.
So it took hard work on your part too. I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's not just that, you know, you got better by just like that. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You had to persist at it. You had to hard every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Yes.
Wow.
Every day. It was something. Rehab.
Yeah.
Work. You know, just being in the house, you know.
Right. Did you feel any kind of loss or anything? I mean, did you feel like, was your girlfriend still with you after that?
So this is in my book, too. I don't want to give too many giveaways.
All right, then
but,
don't.
Yeah.
She, all right.
I'll say this, that uh-huh. I approached her at uh-huh. the gym because I saw her there.
Right.
And when she saw me, she saw me looking at her the way I looked at her. I was luckily sitting on a bicycle on a cardio machine.
Right. Uh-huh.
So she kind of knew something was off. And then a few weeks later, I saw her as I'm walking back to my car. Mm-hmm. And when she saw me walking, and you know, when you're walking, you have to be mentally aware of your surroundings more.
Right.
So I wasn't looking at her. I was gone.
Uh-huh.
My left arm was flapping. My left leg was swinging.
Yeah.
When she saw that,
she was in shock.
She was in shock. And I don't want to give away what she said to me,
okay.
But long story short, she's not in my life anymore.
Yeah.
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 Which is okay.
That's a big test for anybody, you know?
It's a huge test.
It's a big test for everyone, you know?
And to her defense,
yeah.
We were only dating for a few months.
Okay.
We weren't together. But she was also younger, and also, you know, she's, you know.
It's understandable,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, if it's only a few months, you know, you didn't really.
Yeah. Brain injury is not breaking your arm.
Right, exactly, you know. I
yeah.
mean, it's a lot of responsibility for the people around you.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I mean, your family, I salute them, you know, for being there for you all the way, you know.
Yeah.
And they haven't given up and
every step.
And you didn't give up and
yeah.
You know?
They never give up on their son. And that was my biggest motivation to put my book series together, to hopefully entertain and to teach, and also at the same time to honor my friends and my family for sticking by.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Adam Elnakave, and he had traumatic brain injury is what they call it, falling off a motorcycle. And as you've been hearing, the story is just absolutely compelling. And yeah, I mean, my heart goes out to you. I don't know how I would have behaved, but you know, I mean, you do with what you have, right? I mean, what can you do?
Yeah.
So the book is called Rebuilding Adam, The Tragedy, and then you have a book series. You're coming out with two more, right?
Three more is the goal.
Three more?
Yeah, three
wow.
more. I have them all. Me and my team have, we have an exact way of how they all want to come out. Each story is going to have a big cliffhanger That's my goal. I want to make the reader enticed to read the next one, and the next one.
Like, wow.
Series.
And there's that much to tell, huh?
It spans
four books.
Oh, man, it's going to be great. Well, it's the first book is the introduction. It's what we just spoke about with more, you know, relationships and, you know, dating and even having sex intimacy with one arm and one leg and everything and relearning myself, you know, and learning new ways to do things around the house. And then the second book is called The Awakening. Okay. I'm learning other people and what they deal with themselves.
Right.
And the third book is, it's about
the healing.
You know, the fourth one is the healing, actually.
Oh, okay.
The fourth one is
because I've seen only three on your website. That's why.
Yeah, we have to update it, but it's we don't want to give it away too much. Okay. And but there's some good stuff. I don't want to say anything because I don't want my business manager Melissa to get mad at me. She texted me the second
we don't want to give away too
said,
much, folks.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. I don't know. It only makes me want to read the book more.
Yeah,
if nothing else, you know.
It's some good stuff.
Because when you hear it from you, it's unbelievable. You know, it's just so inspiring. You know, and I'm sure people are going to find a lot of inspiration in your books. You know, people who may be desperate, you know, in despair, you know, depressed, hopeless, whatever, you can see that there's still hope. There's always hope. Yeah. And I think hope is what keeps people going, you know?
Exactly.
When you feel that things would get better, you know?
Yeah. I say in my book that I was no longer able to, I was a single kid.
Right.
I was unable to go to bars or go to movies or like meet girls or meet friends.
Yeah. I would imagine pretty lonely.
Yeah, so I learned ways. This is part of my tricks. I went to grocery stores when I used the shopping cart to hold my left arm and to use it as my cane for my leg, and I would approach girls like that.
Really?
There's a whole chapter dedicated to how I'm in the grocery stores across the entire city and everywhere, and I'd have like a little note of how to talk to girls on my shopping cart because I couldn't think very perfect.
Yeah,
and I'd be scared to talk to girls.
So you were hitting on them and stuff.
Yeah, so
it's the supermarket.
So, yeah, so my book is entertaining. It's interesting. It's, wow, I can't believe you did that. And my first girlfriend was my physical therapist in the end. Wow. I'm not going to say anymore. I'm done. I can't get spoilers.
Well, we are out of time, so that's
it. Yeah, yeah.
So everybody, check out the book Rebuilding Adam, The Tragedy. The name is Adam Elnekave. It's ELNEKAVEH. And you can find it everywhere. Very inspiring, Adam. I wish you all the best.
I appreciate
Much success with everything, you know.
Thank you.
What about are you going to the gym again now?
Every day.
Really?
Either swimming, gym, or tennis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love doing things, moving my body.
Yeah, being active.
Yeah, I love
it. Good for you. That's probably what got you going, you know.
I have to.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much. So the website is strivetodefy.com. You can find out a lot more stuff on Adam. I see you're a speaker also and one-on-one
coaching. Yeah, public speaker too. And yeah.
You have a lot to tell people, huh?
It's I love motivating people. I love motivating them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Telling us your story. I know you inspired me a lot, you know, and sometimes I have doubts about life in general, but you made me feel blessed and lucky and fortunate to have my health, to have my family, to have my old faculties where I can function normally. And I salute you for being able to do that. Do you expect your arm to get better, or do you think it's pretty much stopped?
It's getting better.
Uh-huh.
My biggest challenge right now is to remembering that I can use it.
I see.
So, like, for 2 years, I almost couldn't use it. So now I'm relaxed now sitting here with you.
Right.
So I'm not thinking to use it much.
Gotcha.
But it'll come back.
But you got to remind yourself.
I got to remind myself. That's part of my journey. I got to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always continuing to recover, for
always
sure.
Growing, always growing.
Always growing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Always appreciating that, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.